That's what we're celebrating today in our communion service. If you turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 4, we'll interrupt our study in Revelation for a communion meditation before we partake of communion this morning. I pray this will be a very special time of sensing and feeling the presence of God and God speaking to us. Would you stand across the building? 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. I'm going to surprise you probably with these verses. But the end of all things is at hand. I don't really need the sound effects, but the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Now, those are things we need to do, but look in verse 8. It tells us the real thing we need. And above all these things, have fervent charity among yourselves, or fervent love among yourselves. For love shall cover the multitude of sins. I want to preach this morning on love has it covered. Love has it. Aren't you glad that was true of God? His love has you covered. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, church. How many's glad his love has you covered? Hallelujah. Father, thank you for your people. Thank you for the church of the living God. Thank you for your word. Now speak to us in a special way before this communion service. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. So many ask, and I appreciate your asking, but recently we got our new windows on our house. And they came out, did a great job. But we had a special window. It's got an arch to it. And as they began to put that new window in, they discovered that when they framed that out, that they didn't quite get it round and everything. And they were just having a lot of trouble. I went out there. The guy was having a lot of trouble fitting the window in. He's shaving this and chiseling this and cutting that. And as you know, the last thing you do when you put a window in is you caulk, right? And he was telling me about how tough it was for him to get all this cut and fit. And he said, I'm doing the best I can. And I said, that's all right, because caulk covers a multitude of sins. Now, you might have heard that. And if you're in any kind of construction or do any kind of homework, you understand that. Caulk can cover a multitude of sins. But he had never heard it. I mean, he got tickled. He just kept laughing and laughing. And he proved it. I mean, he did. When he proved it. Caulk covers a multitude. Did a great job. But caulk covers a multitude of sins. But I want to preach this morning. Love covers a multitude of sin. Hallelujah. That's a whole lot of love. I said that's a whole lot of love. Now I want you to look at this verse. Peter is admonishing believers to have a fervent love, because it's only a fervent love for one another that covers sins. A little love, a love without zest, a love without fervency won't cover sins. But a fervent love will cover sins. A multitude. I want you to notice two words here. The first is the word fervent. I'm going to say it in Greek. I'm going to read it to you in Greek. You're going to understand it in English. Here's the word for fervent in Greek. Extend. I left the ending off, but extend. Think about that. The word for fervent and fervent love is a love that extends. It reaches out. It goes beyond. I want to have you ask yourself this morning, when is the last time you stretched yourself to show love to somebody? Went beyond your boundaries, your comfort zone, your preferences, and you stretched yourself to love and include somebody. The second word is the one I want you to look at, and there's not a lot to do with it. The word cover means to hide. And we'll deal with that in a moment. It hides a multitude of sin. You see, it's easy And I want you to admit with me, could you do that? It's easy as humans, when we see some people doing wrong and they persist in doing wrong, we get this feeling. And that feeling says what they need is a big dose of God's judgment. That's what they need. How many knows that's kind of a default setting? But I'm telling you, when folks have problems, we'll leave the big dose of judgment to God, because what they really need is a big dose of love that will cover it all. Amen. Now, you may be thinking, amen, what do you mean cover sin? Do you mean we're supposed to hide sin, cover up? Please don't mistake the word cover up to mean that you conceal the person doing wrong from the consequences of their sin, and you deny that they're doing wrong and you sweep it under the rug. That's not what it means. Amen. If something covers something else, this is what it means. If something covers something, that means it's big enough to take it in. It's not talking about a cover-up like in government, or a cover-up like they would do in business when they're stealing and exploiting. It's not talking about that kind of cover-up. It's talking about a love that's big enough to take everybody in, regardless of what they're like, regardless of what they've done, regardless of their faults and it's a love that just takes them in to where you're at. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad God had a love that was big enough to take you in? No, it's not talking about concealing something from those that need to know. You see a child doing something very bad, and you say, well, love covers a multitude of sins, and you don't tell the parents. It's not talking about that. It's not talking about somebody committing a crime. You see someone breaking into your neighbor's house, and you say, well, love covers a multitude of sin. I won't call the police. It's not talking about that kind of cover up. What it's talking about is you've got enough love to spread over that person and take them in spite of their faults and failures. Amen. I know you're trying to make sure that little kid has his bath before he goes to bed, but I'm telling you, every parent knows what I'm talking about. Love covers it all, because you go back to cover that little one up. They've been bratty that day. They've broken things, and you look at them. You don't know how they escaped, but they need a bath. But you don't say, well, they've been so bad today. They're a little dirty, so I'll just let them lie there uncovered. No, you know what you do? In spite of what they've done, in spite of needing a bath, you take the covers and you cover that little one up. That's what Peter's talking about. Not covering up from the law. Amen. Not denying it happened, but to have enough love in your heart that when your brother and sister has fallen, have faults, have failures, have troubles, there's enough love within you. You can just cover them up within your embrace. Notice it says to cover a multitude of sins. I want to remind us that sin means to miss the mark, and all have sins. Amen. We've all missed the mark. We've all failed. But the wrong response is what I see many times. Amen. When folks begin to have problems, when folks begin to have sin in their life, when Christians begin to have failures, amen, the default setting is to begin to pick. Amen. Just to stay on that. Amen. Peter said that's the wrong response. Don't pick. Cover it with your love. Amen. Peter no doubt was thinking of the proverb. Proverbs 10:12. Hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sin. You see, where there's any kind of strife and conflict, there is a lack of love. Whenever there's strife that did not come from love, love covereth all sins. And then in Proverbs 17:9, he that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. Now listen, if there's something you must do in response, or you can do, by all means do it. Amen. You don't lie to protect somebody from the consequences. But if you don't have anything to do with the solution of the problem, don't spread it. Don't fan it. Amen. Seek love. Seek to cover that thing. I want you to know Jesus at the Last Supper. I know he told John who it was, but he didn't tell the rest of the disciples. They never asked. But Jesus gave the bread to Judas just like he gave it to the rest, and the cup just like to the rest. And then when Judas came to the garden to betray him, Jesus looked at him and called him friend. I think that's an example of a love that has it covered. Oh, hallelujah. I've heard it said, you know, facetiously, that love is blind, but marriage is an eye opener. Brother Brock, I'm not talking about love as blind. I'm talking about a love that sees it, but still covers it. Oh, anybody with me this morning? Hallelujah. Amen. A love that sees it, but covers it. Amen. Let's say a sister's walking down the aisle and trips and falls and can't get up for a few moments of stunned. But when she falls, amen, she becomes immodest. Nobody makes fun. Nobody criticizes. Amen. A guy will take off his jacket or a lady her sweater and immediately try to cover up. Why? Because that's love. That's what love does. Amen. And I'm telling you, it's that kind of love that God desires in his people. Isn't that what God did for us? I mean, we had sins and faults and failures. And what did he do? He took the cloak of the righteousness of his son Jesus, purchased by his blood, and he covered us up. I know he did a deeper work. He didn't just cover it. He took it away. But when we stand before God, we do not stand before him in our own righteousness and accomplishment. When I stand before God, I stand covered with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Love has it covered. Amen. I took a little while for that, but I'm going to share three quick things about a covering love. Number one, covering love is what should be expected in the church. Now, I want to ask you some questions here. Do you notice or experience a lot of love when you look at what's going on in Congress in Washington right now? How many just feels the love? You don't feel love coming out of Congress? What about the media? How many, when you watch the news or listen to the news, you say, boy, those folks, those commentaries, those journals, they got a lot of love. Has anyone said that? Man, no one's cooperating. Primetime television programs, how many of them exemplify and portray a great godlike love? How many can feel love from those kinds of violence and perversion? Maybe I haven't called your number yet. What about on the NFL field? Get up after a heart attack. I love you, man. Love you. Love you. And I want to tell you something else. We can't really expect love from those corners. But I know one thing for certain. Whether believer or unbeliever, home folk or visitor, when they walk through those doors to the gathering of God's people, they ought to be able to experience love. It should be expected of the church. Amen. Look what Jesus says, or I'm sorry, that John says in 1 John 4 and 12. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. I want you to really think what it's saying. You cannot show people God. You can't take out your iPhone, hit photos, and say to the unbeliever, I want to show you God. Here's God. Can't do it. I know that's deep. You may want to write it down, but you can't show. It's like the little boy in Sunday school. He's got the crayons. He's just at work. And the teacher looks at it and said, what in the world are you drawing? He said, I'm drawing God. And the teacher said, but son, nobody knows what God looks like. He said, they will when I get done. Yeah. people can't see God. That's what John says. No man has seen God at any time. I know we see Christ, but God, we can't see him. But he said, if we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. What a thought. The unbeliever, your lost loved ones can't see God. But if they see the people of God loving one another, they see God because they see the love of God in action and at work. It ought to be expected of the church. I was listening to the radio this week, and a man was giving his testimony, and I didn't get to hear all of it. But when he was an infidel and a skeptic, didn't believe in God, his wife finally talked him into going to church. He said, I had real long hair, and I finally agreed to go to church. But he said, I fixed my hair as wild as I could, and I wore the most wild clothes I had and put all the paraphernalia on for my lifestyle. He said, because I was going to church and I didn't want to go, and I was going to test those church people to see how they'd respond to me. You know how church people should respond? With a love that covers. Oh, hallelujah. Secondly, I want to leave with us, covering love is the truest indicator of one's preparedness for the end. Think about that. The truest indicator of my being prepared for the end time is that if I have a love that extends to my brothers and sisters. In fact, it's not in the message, but Jesus said, we know we passed from death into life because we do what? Love the brethren. Let's go back to verse 7 of Peter. But the end of all things is at hand. The end's coming. Be sober, pray, and watch. And above all these things, have fervent charity. For charity shall hide a multitude of sins. He said, the end is coming. Therefore, love one another. Now look, I believe we ought to live pure and clean and righteous and everything. But sometimes folks go down the list of being prepared for the coming of the Lord. If you believe Jesus is coming, you won't do this. If you believe Jesus is coming, you won't do that. And those things are well and fine. But Peter says here, if you really believe the end is coming, you'll have a love for one another. Hallelujah. Let me say it again. The greatest and the truest indicator that I am ready for the end is if I have a true love for my brothers and sisters. If I'm a fighting, if I'm a fussing, if I'm a fault finding, if I'm pointing out this that's wrong and that's wrong, I myself am not ready for the coming of the Lord. Hallelujah. We used to have a sister at the convocation. She'd holler out, that's tight, but that's right. Amen. Anyone want to take her role this morning? That's tight, but that's right. Amen. Praise the Lord. Even I'm ready when I've got that love. Amen. Look what John says in his epistle. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. It's our love being perfected that gives us a boldness when we stand before the presence of God. Why is that? It's this simple, and John in his epistle bears this out. Amen. My relationship with others, if there's something wrong with that, then there's something wrong with my relationship with God. Amen. If you hear me across the building, could just lift a hand, wave at me. Hallelujah. If there's something wrong with my relationship with my brother and sister, there is something wrong with my relationship with God. John goes on to say, if a person says, 1 John 4:20, I love God and hateth his brother, he is, you see, I don't hate them, but the Bible says, we've already read it, hatred stirs up strife. Amen. If a man say, I love God and hate his brother, he is a liar. How'd you like John for a revival? He is a liar, for he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? Amen. Amen. I want to be ready. I want to have boldness in the judgment. If I walk to the judgment, I've got something in my heart against this one. I walk to the judgment, I've been talking bad about that one. If I walk to the judgment with those things, I'll bow my head and be unprepared. But if I have a love that covers it all, in spite of what they've done, I take them in. Then if the judgment happens today, I can walk into the judgment of God, John said, with a boldness. I'm prepared. I am ready. You might have heard it before, but a dad was holding his small boy, just loving him. That little boy had his arms wrapped around his dad's neck, and they're just hugging one another. And the little sister's down here, and the dad happens to walk by a mirror, and he looks in the mirror, and as the little boy's hugging his neck and patting him, the little boy's sticking his tongue out at his sister. And so dad took those arms and pried them loose and set the little boy down. And the little boy reached up his hand and said, but dad, I want to hug you. I love you. And the dad shook his hand, little boy's head, and the little boy said, why? He said, listen, it's impossible for you to hug my neck and act like you love me when you're sticking out your tongue over my back at your little sister. You can't be loving me and sticking your tongue out at your little sister. And that's true with God. I love you, God. I'm a follower of you. Oh, how I love you, God. And sticking out our tongue over God's back at our sister or our brother. It cannot be. If we love God, we'll love our brother. If we love God, we'll love our sister. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. What about amen corner? Is it true? Amen. A love that covers. One more thing and I'll move on. Amen. This world today, church world, wants to talk about faith. We've been trying to talk about it on Wednesday night. They've got it all figured out. They got the formula. But in Galatians 5:6, Paul makes an interesting statement. He says, faith which worketh by love. I want you to consider something. If you're having a problem with faith, if you're having a problem believing God, could it be you're having a problem loving somebody you ought to be loving? Think about it. Well, I've lost my faith. I've lost my passion. I've lost my zeal in worship. I just can't believe there's anything to that. I just can't believe that God is going to tell. I can't believe. Amen. Are you loving the way you need to love? Without love, we'll never have the faith that we need. Last of all, amen, a covering love like this only comes from God. I purposely left this out of my notes so it wouldn't share it, and it just keeps coming to me. Amen. It's good if the pastor loves the people. Isn't that pretty good? Okay. And I remember in the early years of my pastorate here, it's not that I disliked people. I just didn't feel like I was loving them good enough. And we were having a meeting. We're at Highway of Holiness, and I remember wrestling with the Lord in the altar. And I kept praying, oh, God, help me love people more. Oh, God, don't pray that because different faces will start coming up into you. God, help me to love people more. Things that's been said about you here. God, help me to love people more. I was really getting down praying. And Sister Brock, God spoke to me. He said, listen, if you'll only worry about loving me, you won't have to worry about loving people. I said, hallelujah. And I'll tell you something that can happen. God's love is real. And it may not have happened yet in this church service, but I believe through the power of the Holy Spirit, suddenly the love of God for you could be made real to you. And what an experience. How many has ever experienced those moments when the love of God was made real to your heart? Oh, I'm telling you, if I've got a love that'll cover my brother and his faults and failures, it'll be because I've been alone with God and I have experienced his love. Amen. I heard on the radio this week, you know, since all this fiasco, actually before it started going on, I just quit most of the time, just quit listening to all that news stuff completely in the radio. And I was listening to him sing, and they begin to sing that old hymn. Thank God for some good new songs, but don't get rid of those old ones. I wish this is one that we sing. But that old hymn said, amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, would die for me? When's the last time you experienced that? Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, would die for me? I had a seminary teacher who used to pastor in Detroit. He talked about this guy way out in sin got wonderfully saved. Church was new to him. I love it. I wish we had 50, 75 people right now. Church was new to him. He didn't know how things worked. He sat through his first prayer request service. People jumping up. Pray for me. Pray for me. My uncle's sick. And those are important. Pray for me. So-and-so's got cancer. Pray for me. I need a job. He listened to all that. He said, man, this is wonderful. We can just stand up and request what we need, help from God. And he stood up. And I don't know if he knew this guy from outside of church or what, but he stood up and he turned around, looked back at the front, and he said, I need you to pray for me. And he turned around and he pointed to the fellow. And he said, because see that fellow right there? I have a hard time liking him. He just gets on my nerves. He hadn't learned yet. You don't make a prayer request about it. You go out in the foyer and tell somebody about it, or in the parking lot. Oh, hallelujah. You know how we get that kind of love? We revisit and let God love us afresh and anew. One of the signs I have quit loving God and I've quit desiring and coveting his love for me is when I have quit loving my brothers and sisters. Let's go back to the Epistle of John before we finish. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. One of the ways you can know you're born again is when you have a love for your brothers and sisters. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. I would like to propose this morning that if I really, truly am grateful for his love for me, in the end, I'll have no problem loving my brother and sister. Amen. Sister Mary, that's why the apostle said we ought to forgive others. How? As God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. I just list a few things. I'm not loving if I only include those like me, that think like me, that agree with me. I'm not loving with a covering love. I don't have a covering love when it must be my way before I'm with it, I'm behind it. It must be my kind of song, for I'll sing it. My kind of preacher, for I'll amen. Okay, I'm not your kind of preacher. It must be, if I do not agree with the person, I exclude the person. That's not covering love. If I simply never think of that person. See, this is something else that began to get in my spirit. A love that doesn't cover is a love. It's not that it just does somebody bad. It just doesn't think of them. Never thinks of them. I'm talking about in our circle of brothers and sisters. But oh, a covering love is big enough to take it all in. You know, I've had some people tell me, I just ain't getting any love for those people. That's not the question. It's like that fellow back there told my wife, been here for about 2 years, said this is the most unfriendly church I've ever been in. She said, well, brother, I've never seen you go to anybody and shake their hand. Whoa. Thank you, brother. You didn't have the right inflection accent on it. Oh, hallelujah. That was covering love, brother. I appreciate that. Now I forgot the point I was making. Help me out. Yeah. And so some folks, they say, I sure ain't getting no love. That's not the question. The question is, am I showing love? Am I giving love? Hallelujah. Yes, that's it. Let's just have church while we're at church. Glory. Amen. We need to put a few demons on the run this morning. Oh, hallelujah. Let the love of God come in. And you say, how's that fit? Because perfect love casteth out fear. And I think we get some perfect love, it casts out some devils too. Hallelujah. You say they've got a big problem, big trouble. They may have, but maybe if we got some perfect love and covered them, it'd get rid of those things from their life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I mentioned mentioned it Wednesday night or maybe last Sunday night, but many times after a good service and a good prayer, we'd break out in song that old time religion, and we had one refrain that said, makes me love everybody. I never thought of it until I repeated it the other night. Makes me love? Makes me love? You know, some people are intent on not liking some folks. Some people have got their minds made up. They don't like them. It's settled. But I'm telling you, if you'll get in the presence of God, pray everything through with your soul. Amen. It'll make you. Amen. Sometimes in spite of yourself, something's going to change. Oh, the love of God. How rich and pure. Aren't you glad Sister Dirth read it this morning? But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even, I said even, when we were dead in sin. I said God committeth his love for us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Aren't you glad he didn't wait till we got straightened out? He didn't wait till we got it all right. He didn't wait till we got a personality change, our temperament settled out. No, he loved us right then and there. Oh, hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Just about done. When we only love the lovable, we've not yet loved as God loves. I shared this many years ago. It touched my heart. And I heard him share it, but Jim Cimbala, pastor of Brooklyn Tabernacle, he told of an Easter service. I don't know how many times he preached that morning. They had multiple services then or what. But he said God had really moved. He said there were many sinners in the altar, and folks were working with them. He said, I was so exhausted. He said, I sat on the platform, and I pulled my tie down, and I was just thanking God for what he'd done. He said, I was exhausted. And he said, he looked up, and three pews back was a man. It was obvious that he was a homeless man, and he looked like he was 50-something years old. And he said, I said, oh, no. People coming here all the time. The church is in a slum area. They're wanting money. He's wanting money. He said, I stood up, and when the man got 5 feet from me, he said, the stench was so overpowering, I had to turn my head to get my breath. And he said, I'm exhausted. We normally don't give money to folks. We just give them food. But he said, I reached in my pocket. And he said, I started to pull the money out. But before I did, he said, I asked him, what's your name? David. How old are you? 32. How long you been on the streets? 6 years. Where'd you sleep last night? In an abandoned vehicle. He said, I pulled my money out and started to pull off some bills. And the man looked at him and said, preacher, I don't want your money. And I want to read, because I finally found the words exact. Here's what he said. Preacher, I don't want your money. I want this Jesus, the one you were talking about, because I'm not making it, and I'm going to die on that street. He said, I don't want your money. I want your Jesus. And Jim Cimbala said he was so convicted, he began to weep. The preacher did. Weep. And he said, as he began to weep, the man looked at him confused, and the man began to weep. And he said, then that man stumbled and fell against my white shirt. He said, I just wrapped my arms around him, began to pray for him. And he said, as I wept, he said, a miraculous thing happened. That stench that was so horrible changed, and I smelt the most beautiful smell. That's a love that covers. I said, that's a love that covers. Would you cut music? Let me share one more thing. And I want you to think about this. Pixar, most of you know that Steve Jobs of Apple, he worked there. He brought it back. Their first major success was Toy Story in about 1995. And I shared that because of this. When they made it big, they were going to build a new facility. And it was going to have three buildings. One for animators, one for management, and one for programmers, the computer side of it. Three different buildings. Steve Jobs says, no, it's not what we're going to do. Scrap the plans. He bought an old Del Monte plant that was just a huge open building with an atrium in the middle. He called the plumbers in, the carpenters. He said, I want every bathroom, every break room, every vending machine, every water fountain, every conference room, I want it in that open area in the middle of the building. He said, because I want people from all departments to be forced to bump into each other every day, whether it's a restroom call, whether it's a break, whether it's going to a meeting. They're all going to be coming to the same place, and they're going to have to bump into one another and look each other in the eye. I want to tell you this morning, communion, listen to me, communion is designed so that we as believers have to bump into one another and look each other in the eye. And I think there's some questions this morning in the communion. Do I love my brothers and sisters? Is there anything that I have against anybody? Do I have any wrong feelings I need to deal with? Have I been unkind? Am I being kind and inclusive of my brothers and sisters? I think it's designed so we have to bump into each other. And I want you to remember that in the communion service this morning at his table. How do we bump in? Well, we're doing the same thing, but it's more than that. We're loving the same Jesus. And it's the same Christ that's loved us all and saved us all. So how can I sit at the table with the one that loved me and not love my brother over here? Right? And I want to tell you one more thing, and we'll go on. If you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, I believe he's designed this service so that you'd bump into him and know his love. Amen. Church, if you're thankful for his covering love, would you lift your hands as the servers come? Would you lift your hands and just thank him for his covering love? Oh, he wrapped his arms around us when the stench was still on us. I said he wrapped his arms around us when the stench was still on us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Let's just love him. Come, servers. Hallelujah. Let's love him this morning. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Amazing love. How can it be that thou, my God, has died for me? We invite everybody to partake of communion with us. If you profess a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, we just ask that you wait till everybody's been served. Children, if you've had that experience and you've talked it over with your parents, invite you to partake too. Let's continue to worship the Lord and marvel in his love. Like a mighty sea comes the love of Jesus sweeping over me. May that be so in our communion.
Sorrows, Lamb of God.
Table, we're going to bump into each other as we worship him. Would you stand? Amen. Brother Maggard, would you ask the Lord's blessing on the bread this morning? Let us partake together. Thank you, Lord. Brother Jerry Renner, could you ask the Lord's blessing on the cup this morning? Yes, Lord. Yes. Amen. Thank the Lord. Let's partake together. Hallelujah. 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 Let's love Him. Let's love Him. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. I want you to, we're going to sing this through once. Then I want you to greet one another and show your love to God this morning. Show your love to Christ by expressing your love to one another. Could you do that? Makes me love everybody. Makes me love.
Everybody.
Amen. Makes me love everybody. Makes me love. Come on, cover us with your love right here. Go ahead and express your love.